Please turn with me this evening to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and as you're turning there, let me express my appreciation for those words of welcome. Thankful for the heart expression, the Reverend Saunders, and appreciate very much his words and the fact that this whole matter of transition and new administration is not something we take lightly. We look to the Lord at every turn. And I appreciate the Reverend Saunders' heart and the heart of the session and board and the heart of the congregation in praying for this and looking to the Lord for guidance. They say things happen in threes. And it seems to be the way this summer with me and my family, with a new ministry beginning, a new house we are to move into September 21st, and a new baby due September 26th, although that order could be reversed. Going by past history, probably the baby will come before the moving into the house. I do pray for my wife, Nicola. She's enjoyed a very good and healthy pregnancy. I do pray for our children in this time of transition as well. Four children, Claire, Lauren, Owen, and Adam. We're thankful for the move, that it went very well. The Lord gave help at every turn. I'd like to express my appreciation especially to two elders in this congregation, my father-in-law, Mr. Wilfie Brown, and also Mr. James Fraser, for their help with regard to our move, driving a truck all the way out to BC, and then driving all the way back after taking 2 days to load up the truck and drive back again. And that's very much appreciated. We're thankful that everything went well. It is my purpose tonight to relate to you something of the Lord's leading in my life over these last 6 months, I guess, and even prior to that. The teachers had a little insight into this. On Thursday, I give a short testimony. Reverend Saunders asked me to, in 10 minutes, give a testimony. I told him that was impossible, and I didn't keep to my time. I will try tonight to keep to my time, but I trust the teachers will bear with me. Some repetition is involved here tonight, but as I shared my heart with them and reminded them that many of these things that I'll say tonight relate to me on a personal level. I'm speaking of my own personal experience, the Lord's leading in my life, and how the Lord has directed me personally. But in hearing the testimony, I trust you will be reminded tonight that the Lord is intimately concerned with each and every one of us on a personal level. He cares about us. He knows our concerns, and he reveals to us his will, that we may walk in his path. I want to read a few verses to begin with here tonight. In Psalm 25 and the verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 14. We trust the Lord will add his blessing upon the reading of his holy and inspired word. Let's just pause for a moment's prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come unto thee this evening hour. And we're thankful for your goodness and your mercy towards us. We thank thee that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. We pray tonight, Lord, that we would know your leading. We pray, Lord, that we would know the help of the Holy Spirit, even as we come to open the Word and consider again the God of heaven, the one who is concerned about us, who looks down upon us in love, who condescends to meet our needs. We know, Lord, we are unworthy of the least of your blessings. We're not worthy to come into your presence. And yet, Lord, we have free access to thy throne this night because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank thee for his blood and righteousness, that work of righteousness that we were hearing of this morning. We thank thee for peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray tonight, Lord, as we meditate upon the truths of thy word, that our hearts would be filled with love for thee, that we would serve thee with all our heart for all our days. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's my purpose tonight to relate something of my testimony to you with regard to the Lord's leading and my decision to return home to Toronto to take up this work here in the Christian school and also to be of assistance in the church. The wonderful thing is, as we come to consider the will of God for each of our lives, that God is a God who is to be found, a God who directs us, a God who guides us. The will of God is something that we can discover and know for ourselves. He has not left us alone. He has not left us without a witness. He has not left us to ourselves to muddle our way through life, to wander around confused and without purpose. But knowing Christ as the center of our life, we have purpose, we have meaning. And God reveals his will to his children. His will is something we can know and discover. The Lord does not play hide and seek with his people. He has said very clearly in the book of Deuteronomy and again in the book of Jeremiah that if we seek him with all our hearts, he will be found of us. And we can know his leading and his help. And that has been a great help to me, even through this process, as I have had to make a very difficult decision with regard to this move from Prince George to Toronto. I should say, first of all, that I must give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for my salvation. As a young man, the Lord saved me, and I rejoice in his mercy to me. Is pardon my iniquity. I also give the Lord thanks for putting me in the ministry. A great trust has been committed to me, just as Paul said to Timothy. I thank the Lord for the 8 years of ministry in Prince George and the enabling grace that he gave me to fulfill that calling week by week, giving the necessary grace. I was ordained to the gospel ministry in 2001. As a student, I prayed for the Lord's leading, for the Lord's will to be known. He opened the door to Prince George, and we went out in obedience, serving from 2001 to July of this year. To leave one ministry for another ministry is a very difficult decision. It was a tough decision. Our hearts were knit together with the people there in that small congregation. We loved them in the Lord. They were a great help to us and encouragement in the work. We had been through many things together. It's always a very difficult decision. I didn't take it lightly, but in the fear of the Lord, I began to seek the mind of the Lord. It was a difficult decision in that I had to, while continuing to preach in Prince George, to minister week by week, as I did that, preparing the word for that people, and yet in my heart, trying to understand what the Lord was doing, what the Lord would have for me, to know His will and His leading. It was a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing because we are talking about spiritual realities. We're talking about the work of God. And the fear of the Lord should be a very real thing in the life of a Christian. I'm sure you've had that experience in your own life where you want to do the Lord's will. There is that fear of making a mistake, a fear of reading into things. Is this just what I want, or is this truly what the Lord wants for me? A fear of doing anything contrary to the Lord's will, a fear that we might hinder the work of God. And so there really was no room for experimentation. This is something that I needed to be sure of. I had to know one way or other, the other, what the Lord would have me to do. I knew answers would be required. Decisions had to be made. Deadlines were approaching. As I said to the teachers, and I've said to young people on occasion before, the fear of the Lord is a very healthy thing in the life of a Christian. It's a very necessary thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It keeps us right. It keeps us from evil. There is that desire to do those things that please the Lord. A desire to glorify God by our life and by our service. And if that is your heart as you endeavor to know God's will, especially young people here tonight, if you are seeking the Lord's will for your life, this is where you must begin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It will keep you right. It will keep you from evil. And when you desire to glorify God by your life and service, God will honor you for that. God will reveal His will to you. The secret of the Lord, we were reading here, is with them that fear Him. And if you want to know the Lord's will, make the glory of God your chief aim. He will lead you aright. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Right paths. In April, I made the announcement to my congregation in Prince George that I would be leaving them. That was a tough day. That was a very difficult Sunday. But I had to assure them that it was the result of that decision was the result of serious prayer and months of seeking God for direction. Reverend Saunders contacted me in December, December 25th, Christmas Day. He called me on Christmas Day. On behalf of the session, he was requesting to know my mind and would I be open to consider a move. The session had been holding many meetings and discussing the matter of administration in the school. And he called me, wondering if I would consider that. That was December. In April, I made the announcement to my congregation that I would be leaving. But in between those times, those months, there was much reflecting on the Word and what the Lord would have me to do. Sometimes the Lord In your daily reading, you will be reading God's Word. Something will stand out to you. And you will ask yourself, what is the Lord saying to me? What is the Lord asking of me? What would the Lord have me to do? And that's where you begin. When you're looking for the will of God, there's this wondering. Wondering, what would the Lord have me to do? And even before, I have to say, even before Reverend Saunders contacted me in December about the position and the work here in Toronto, the Lord had began to work in my heart. Back in the fall, October and November, the Lord was beginning to work in my heart and began to really unsettle me and work within me a conviction that my time in Prince George may be coming to an end. And in the course of my general study and preparation for pulpit ministry, through daily devotionals and daily scripture reading, the Lord began to unfold His will for me. And that was an amazing thing. You know, as you look back upon the leading of the Lord, and you reflect upon your life, and you consider how the Lord has brought you along, that's an overwhelming thing. It's a humbling thing. And our God is the same. We can look back to times in the past when God helped us, and we take encouragement from that. But the God of the past is also the God of the present. He is able to help us now with our immediate needs. He's an unchangeable God, and we rejoice in that. The Lord began to reveal His will to me. But back in November of 08, I was preparing for a prayer meeting. And I was going through the prayers of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. It was drawing a lot from A.W. Pink's book, Gleanings from Paul. And I was studying that prayer in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 to 7, where Paul said of the Corinthians, "I thank my God always on your behalf." And as I was reading Pink's comment, there was this surprising word. I just want to read it to you here. He said, "Though Paul was now absent from them, from the Corinthians, they held a warm place in his heart. He constantly remembered them before the throne of grace. I thank my God always on your behalf." And then he said this, "A lesson here for those engaged in the pastoral office. When called of God to occupy another place in His vineyard, they are not to forget those they left in their former field of service." And that's when I began to wonder, what is the Lord saying here? What is the Lord doing? Also, in the evening service, Sunday evenings, I had been going through the Gospel of John, especially the Supper Discourse, the Upper Room Discourse, John chapter 13 to 17. I started that study last September, and it ended this April. I worked my way through those chapters. But as I began to work my way through each week, the Lord was impressing upon me this conviction that I had finished the work that He gave me to do. It was very difficult to continue ministry week by week to that dear people, knowing that the Lord may be calling me away elsewhere. And the whole thrust of that passage is the Lord's preparing His disciples for His departure. "I'm going away. I am leaving you. Yet I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter," of course, speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Lord was comforting their hearts. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Encouraging them that His purpose would not be thwarted, but His work would continue. But as I went through the Gospel of John, those chapters, I began to read verses like John 17 and the verse 4, where Christ said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Chapter 16 and the verse 5, he said, "But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then, especially John 15 and the verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." And this is the word that kept coming back to me again and again. Go, have not I sent thee? You've dwelt long enough in this mount. Go, and I will be with thee. And the Lord was working that conviction within. But you know, there was this great concern for the congregation in Prince George. Still is a concern and a bond with that people. A concern for the congregation. In January, I began to preach from the book of Philippians. Preached a series on Philippians, beginning with Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 19. "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We took that as our motto text, and then I went back through the book of Philippians, preached through it week by week. And as I went through the book of Philippians, again, the Lord was speaking to me personally. And in Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 27, we have that word. It was a word of consolation, really, to me, where the Lord says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That was a real concern. What is going to happen to the work? What is going to happen to the church? Will it hold together? The Lord gave this word, "Though I would be absent, they would come together and strive together for the faith of the gospel." Colossians chapter 2 and the verse 5 was also a comfort. The Lord said, "Though I would be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." The Lord's work would continue. And just like as in John, the Lord was comforting his disciples, his work would continue, his work would go forward. So here in Philippians, the Lord was comforting my heart, saying, "Though you be absent, the work will go on." So it was a time of waiting, wondering, and then waiting on the Lord, seeking the Lord for direction. There were some trying times. It's a very difficult decision, but I had to continue to seek earnestly the mind of the Lord. Of course, there's that fear that comes over you, a fear, first of all, of making a wrong decision, and then the fear of, well, who is sufficient for these things? The fear of the future, the fear of what's involved. Am I the man for this job? Who am I, Lord? And yet the Lord continued to encourage my heart that I should go. It's a wonderful thing when God reveals his will to you in his word. There are those inward desires. There's that burden upon your heart to do that which is pleasing to the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be useful and to have an impact for Christ. There's that desire, something that keeps coming back. It's not a temporary thing, but it's a earnest desire. The Lord works that conviction in you, confirms it by his word, and even by providential circumstances. I could tell you so many circumstances, how the Lord worked out all the little details with regard to our move, with regard to the selling of our house, finding a new home, and so on, wrapping up our ministry in Prince George. And so I give the Lord praise tonight for his goodness to me. But as we seek the Lord's will, there is that wondering what the Lord would have us do. There's that waiting before the Lord earnestly, seeking him for direction. But then there's something else that is involved. There's walking in obedience to the will of God as well. It's a very necessary thing. Faith, trusting the Lord for direction, but then walking in obedience. And sometimes that's not as easy as we might think. The Lord said, "Go, and I will be with thee." And so I, like Abraham, went out in faith and obedience. And I'm here in response to the Lord's leading. The Lord said to me, I was reading C.H. Spurgeon one occasion back in February, and the text was Deuteronomy chapter 28, and the verse 2 and 3. "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city." And he said this, "The city is full of care, and he who has to go there from day to day finds it to be a place of great wear and tear. It is full of noise and stare and bustle and sore travail. Many are its temptations, its losses, its worries. But to go there with the divine blessing takes off the edge of its difficulty. To remain there with that blessing is to find pleasure in its duties and strength equal to its demands." He went on to say something that I found appropriate to my own situation. He said, "We might prefer the quiet of a country life. We were settled in Prince George, nice little church, small congregation, beautiful place, beautiful scenery, just a nice place to bring up a family. The quiet of a country life. But if called to town, we may certainly prefer it because there is room for our energies. Today, let us expect good things because of this promise. Let our care be to have an open ear to the voice of the Lord and a ready hand to execute His bidding. Obedience brings the blessing. In keeping His commandments, there is great reward. To obey is better than sacrifice." And so, I heard the call of the Lord. I believed His word. And I'm here in response to the leading of the Lord, in obedience to His call. You know, it's one thing to ask God for direction. "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." That's good. That's a right prayer. To wait on the Lord for guidance. Proverbs 3 tells us, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." You must trust God for guidance, for answers, for leading. There is that faith. But once we have the answer from God, we must walk in obedience. Once we know the right way, the next step is obedience. When the Lord says, "This is the way, walk ye in it," we must go in obedience to Him. We can't say, "Well, you know, I'll wait on the Lord, and I'll wait to see what He says, then I'll decide if I will go or not." There must be that willing heart. We must have faith, but we must also obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. For the Lord to lead you, to show you the right way, and yet for you in the end to reject that way and turn from it and go your own way is sin. James tells us, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin." But rather, we must say with the hymn writer, "Where he may lead me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way." The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. I could share with you many other details. I could keep you here for a while and bore you, but I trust you get the gist of, of what I mean and how the Lord has been directing me and my family in coming here. And I am here with the confidence that the Lord will help me in this new calling and this new ministry. He will give the grace that is needed. He who calls by grace also equips by grace, and He is able to give me the grace that is needed for this work. I've enjoyed this week with the teachers, 2 days, and just getting to know the teachers, getting to know the ins and outs of a school, and just the things that are involved in the daily routine. Covet your prayers. Pray for me in this ministry. Pray for my family. Remember my wife as she comes near to deliver. Remember us this month as we move into our new house, and remember us in this new work. Do remember the work in Prince George as well. Pray for that congregation. We must remember these small works and pray that the Lord would lead and direct there and bring the man of His choosing to shepherd that flock. May the Lord bless this word to your hearts tonight. We're going to close tonight by singing 497. 497.